W.
Hello, Dan. Wednesday, May 14th. We are looking at sunshine and 74 degrees. I'm looking at Colette Barton. Do you really have the keys to life? We've been discussing this when you walked in. It's like, I'm beginning to think you might have a few that can open some doors for us.
I have keys to my life.
Well, yeah, but you can help us find our keys, too, or at least the lock for crying
out loud. I don't have them all. It's still a discovery. But I do have some insight and keys into my own life.
Good to see you. I love the outfit you're wearing. Looks very spring and very summer.
Thank you.
Yes,
you are like a
walking sunrise. I'm liking this. Well, today we're talking, of course, on the journey, we're talking about support. And boy, I tell you what, if anybody could write a book on that, it would be you. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, I've been pondering and thinking about what we were going to talk about today and how that translates. And up until now, we've talked many times about the grief journey, the grieving, and how people who have experienced incredible loss are grieving and some tools for their toolbox for that. But I was thinking about the opportunities that we have as people walking with people who are grieving and what that looks like and how does that translate for the person that you're trying to be supportive for? Because many times, just as someone who's on the grief journey and in the trenches of it, someone who is supportive of that individual or of the people that we love that we're watching in complete sorrow and heartache, what can we do? Because we can't take it for them. It's not a package where we can walk over and say, let me carry that for a while. And nor would we want to, because again, their journey is sacred to their own experiences and relationships. So how can we be supportive, especially in those times when the ache seems so deep for someone or the sorrow is so overwhelming that there really doesn't seem to be anything that offers comfort or, support in a way that we would want, where we would perceive that it would be helpful. And so how do we do that? I think one of the biggest things that we can do is just show up for people, be present, because there's a power in the presence. We know that we can't take away the ache and the sorrow and the pain in all of its capacity, but we can offer the support, the encouragement, the listening ear. Sometimes it just takes someone like, I'm just going to sit even in the silence with you, which is hard and uncomfortable. And again, because we're doers, we're humans that want to do something to help you. We bring food when someone passes away. We bring food because that feels like that would be helpful. And it is. But it's those moments of you can't do anything to take away the ache or the sorrow, but you can be present. You can sit in the silence, even if it's uncomfortable.
Because sometimes there are no words.
There are many times there are no words. And what words would offer anything? Or sometimes we get caught in the trap as a griever where people will speak words and it wasn't helpful. It was received in a way that didn't seem to offer comfort or support. There's nothing wrong in that. The person who's giving is not with intent to harm, and the person who's receiving isn't unwilling to receive. It's just that in those moments, there's just a hardness, a sorrow that's in the middle.
It's raw, and people grieving, too, emotionally are usually, in a very raw state that way. So no matter what you say at times, it's not going to. But what about people that are uncomfortable with that silence? It's like, well, I can't just sit here in silence because that's uncomfortable to me, too.
Well, and actually, but sometimes just speaking it like, I wish that I had words. I wish there was something, but I'm just going to sit here with you. And when or if there's anything that I can do to support you or to that will offer some relief for where you're standing right now, I want you to know that I'm standing here beside you. Again, I often speak of, I can't walk the grief journey for people, even though I have experience and some knowledge in that grief journey concept. But I can be on the sidelines with the Band-Aids if it feels like you're walking across a path of glass because it's so raw and painful. I can be there with Band-Aids. I can be there with water to soothe that. I can, those are the things that can be helpful that I can bring. And maybe at some point you'll want them and invite them into your journey. Or again, or just know that I'm standing over here waiting.
Do you think when it comes to grief, the head and the heart are two completely different rooms, or can be?
can be. I think that's part of the challenge that we sometimes face, is to get our head and our heart to reconcile where we are.
True.
Because our head can logically know something. Oh. You know, I think of examples of someone who, they're 97, they've lived a big life, their children were, you know, we don't want mom suffering, we want her to be able to be with dad, and we want peace for her, and all of the things, but it doesn't change the translation of your mom is no longer physically present. Your mom, the one that you potentially was your person, is gone. That, you know, that's your head and your heart reconciling. Like, logically, I know, but I have an ache in my heart because my mom isn't here. Or if you watch someone who has deteriorated from a disease like dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, and people will sometimes feel guilty because at the time of those individuals passing, they feel like, wow, I kind of feel relief, or I feel, you know, and then they feel guilty about that.
Well, then there's a shame connected with that.
Absolutely, because you don't really want to speak that out loud, like, wow, you know, this is actually probably a really beautiful blessing. But sometimes it's okay to acknowledge and recognize there's a beautiful blessing within the heartache and the sorrow that you feel in having that person not in this life with you. So I think, you know, again, it's a delicate dance of how do we step into being supportive, and as a society and as a culture, how can we better serve people that are in spaces of tension with their grief?
Right. And sometimes that's best too. Put your phone down and actually be with a person.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And if you feel that nudge, like, there, I don't have really any specific message I need to say to you today, but I just feel like, wow, I'm just going to call you and say, hey, how's today for you? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you at this moment? You're really on my heart. Sometimes people just feeling that acknowledgement of, hey, I'm still being thought of, you know, even after the funeral, after the casket has gone into the ground, there are people who are still thinking about me, who are still acknowledging that I'm on a different journey, different path in my journey, and my story is being written with different things than I expected or anticipated it to be.
A lot of truth and honesty in those words too, and being supportive of someone too involves, again, action from the heart, maybe not always the head. I don't know about you, but my head's a mess. usually, but if the heart stays in good shape, yeah. But they are two different rooms with me sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Well, and our heads get busy with stuff, yeah. You know, but our hearts still are, there's the heart-human connection, that right. Eyes to eyes, soul to soul.
Colette Barton, I could talk with you all day about this, but we get to do this once a month. Appreciate you coming in for the journey, and look forward to our conversation in the month of June. Can you believe we're almost halfway through May?
It is. I'm still trying to figure out where October went, to be honest. That's that heart. That's that head reconciliation.
Folks,
great to be here, and you are fantastic, Bill.
Thank you, dear. If you missed any of this, it will be available in podcast on our website early this afternoon. Colette, thanks for stopping in. It's 9:16 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.